I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Europa League preview time. Welcome to Qué Golazo. We got Jimmy Conrad and James Benn to break down all the action, all the Premier League teams, Real Sociedad against Napoli. That should be a good one, and much, much more. Plus, we have a conversation with Benfica and Belgium defender Jan Vertonghen. Stay right here because this is a good one. Everybody, welcome back. Qué Golazo, as promised, a loaded Europa League preview show. My man, my brother, Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy, it's Halloween soon. Are you excited?
I am excited. That means cavity season for me. Lots of sugar in my life, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what your favorite candy bar is, but I think for Halloween, for me, I really appreciate 100 grand bars, even though they're hard to get. Charleston Chews, I like too. I know we've discussed this before, but I just wanted to double down on it because I love my candy.
Man, I like Reese's Pieces, man. You just can't go wrong with Reese's Pieces and Three Musketeers. But remember, I grew up in England, right? I mean, if you've never had Lion Bars, Maltesers, man, you got to go to town on those.
Ooh, no, I can't stand for Maltesers. I'm going to speak for a big portion of the audience. Malt balls just don't do anything for me. I'd rather not eat anything, or celery. I hate celery. I would rather eat celery than malt ball. It's like a tease, Luis. It's like, this is going to be good, and then it's not. So I'd rather just not eat anything.
You're so wrong. I'm so offended right now. Jimmy, me and you are like best buds. This is where we draw the line. What is your favorite candy? Tell us, because we have a special Halloween episode as we do the weekend recap as well. But let's get going. Europa League. James Bench will join us soon. He was at the Arsenal press conference. He'll be at the Emirates as well, so he'll give us full-on analysis. But Jimmy, a lot of games once again, match day two. Let's begin from a betting standard. Arsenal, who lost to Leicester City, also in the Europa League, against Dundalk. Give us some betting tips on this one.
I mean, there are no betting tips in this one because Arsenal is such a heavy favorite. I'm trying to find value for you guys on William Hill. That's what I do. I put my trunks on and I go swimming in the warm waters at that website and trying to find you guys some good stuff. The only one that I could really find is Nicola Pepe scoring anytime at plus 110. Every other meaningful goal score for Arsenal is in the negative. I don't like giving you guys negative lines. I just like, it's not my thing. I'm a positive guy, Luis. You know what I mean? And so I like to look for the positive stuff. I got that one. And then there is this, I'm interested in this one and I want to get your thoughts. This is just something I'm looking at. Draw in the first half between the two teams. I feel like Dundalk's just going to give everything they have in the first half. Very similar to Molde when Arsenal played them and then Arsenal had to bring on the big guns. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang in particular, and they saved the day and scored in the second half. And then Arsenal to win the second half. That's plus 370. I'm looking hard at that one because Arsenal haven't been great as of late. I feel like they're not really creating these clear-cut chances, or at least not as consistently as I think they should, given the talent they have on their roster. I like that one a little bit because I think this is the biggest game in Dundalk's history. There's no question. And I think they're going to come out flying in the first half. Now, this is a good opportunity for Mikel Arteta to potentially kill their spirits in the first 10 minutes. So there's some value there and maybe Arsenal scoring early. But if that doesn't happen, I could see Dundalk really frustrating Arsenal, trying everything that they can to get to the halftime at 0-0 and keep things even. And then maybe they can steal a goal. I feel like that's how they're seeing the game. And Arsenal's like, fine, we'll just absorb it. We'll bring on our big guns in the second half. We'll do the same thing we did against Molde. There's something I like about that one. But those are really the only two bets that I think you guys should consider, because the other ones are just so in the negative and so over the top for Arsenal. There's not much value there otherwise.
No, I love that one, the 0-0 at halftime. I mean, recent history is telling us that that could be the way to go. Against Rapid Wien, that's exactly what happened. It was 0-0.
Oh, yeah, Rapid Wien. I said Molde. I don't know why I said Molde, yeah.
That's fine. Same team, whatever.
dude, there's like 80,000 teams in
exactly.
the Europa League.
Exactly. We get so confused. But against Rapid Wien, it was 0-0. And then obviously the action came in the second half against Leicester City, it was 0-0 until the danger man himself, Jamie Vardy, capitalized and made it 1-0. So you could see that happening. I'm going all in on that. 0-0 at halftime, and then Arsenal just get going in the second. That's a good one. Let's move on because there's a lot of games.
Oh, but
let's, yeah, there's just too many. But let's talk about Real Sociedad against Napoli. This is a beautiful matchup on paper, isn't it?
I love this one. I love it because La Real are on top of the table in La Liga. Nobody really expected them to be there at this point. Obviously, Madrid have faltered a smidge, and Barcelona haven't really been firing, and Atletico Madrid still trying to, I think, cram Luis Suarez into how they like to play. And now Joao Felix played very good in the Champions League this past week. So I think there's signs there that Atleti can be very tough the rest of the season. But at the moment, La Real are on top of the table. Napoli lost to AZ Alkmaar in match day one at home. Yes, they got more shots, and yes, they had more possession, but still, that was like a C team for AZ because they had missed so many people due to COVID. So I don't know which version of Napoli is going to show up. They need to win this one. It's pretty rare to lose your first two group games and then go on and get out of the group and then hit into the knockout rounds. Napoli was one of my favorites to do it, to potentially have a long run in the tournament. Everything's even in this one. So ultimately, if you want La Real to win, let me check it really quick. There's so many games. I had everything up. But the one that I really like at the moment. Go ahead.
As you're looking at that matchup, I feel like Napoli are doing what Atalanta's doing the other way around. So now Atalanta's doing well in the Champions League and struggling in Serie A. And Napoli is doing okay in Serie A. And kind of that loss in the opening day in Europa was tough. This is Real Sociedad and Napoli's first ever encounter in European competition. Sociedad's only previous Italian opponents are Inter and Juventus. So this is the first time they're playing Napoli. So take that from what you will.
So on William Hill, it's plus 163 for Real Sociedad to win and plus 163 for Napoli to win. And the draw is plus 240. I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one. I do kind of like the over. It's 2.5 is the line. Over is plus 100. I could see this game ending 2-1 in favor of somebody. I just don't know who yet. I really feel like we're going to be flipping a coin. Napoli does have the talent, and Dries Mertens is coming back in. Lorenzo Insigne is coming. You know, all these guys are coming back in, so that should help. But who I really like is Mikel Oyarzabal, who plays for Real Sociedad. He's one of the leading scorers. A score anytime at plus 220. I like that one a lot. And then you have Porto, who also has scored 4 goals for La Real this season. And he's at plus 260 to score anytime. So I kind of like maybe putting a flyer on those guys because they get themselves in good spots to score goals. I don't know if David Silva is going to start this one. They might rest him. He's 34 years old. They got to really pick their spots. I just didn't think they expect themselves to be doing this well in Europe, this well domestically. And now they have to balance it out. Oh, geez, we might have a nice little run here in the Europa League. Let's be thoughtful about this. But it's going to be really important for both teams to get points in this. I could see a draw. Plus 240 is not bad. But I don't know. It's tough. I could probably talk myself into a couple different bets here, Luis.
Well, this is so conflicting too as well, Jimmy, because Real Sociedad are winless in 2 UEFA Cup Europa League home matches, and Napoli have lost both of their last 2 away Europa League matches. So something has to give.
But
right?
I'll say this too. Yeah, it does. La Real, though, I looked at who they were playing in La Liga so far, because I think that matters. But they've played Getafe. They played a couple other clubs that are solid. I mean, they're not like playing the ones, the bottom feeders. And I want to get into RB Leipzig.
They beat Getafe 3-0.
That's right. I mean, yeah. But they've scored 14 goals and given up 3. They have the best goal difference in all of La Liga by some margin. So they're doing it on both sides. I really like what they're about right now. And I threw in RB Leipzig really quick because they are a team that look good right now, but they haven't really played anybody, just a bunch of bottom feeders. So I just to give you context as to why I threw them in.
No, it's good. This is a good game for you to gamble. Operative word, gamble. Just go out. You got the information from Jimmy. I love it. All right, let's move on. We have Jan Vertonghen in the episode, Jimmy. Jan Vertonghen, such a
awesome,
a great guy. Loves board games, by the way. Loves his board games, which is really funny. Him and Eric Dyer used to play a lot back with Tottenham.
But which games?
He loves backgammon. Okay. And there was another one, the name I forgot.
Wait. Is it Settlers of Catan?
No, but oh, wait, it could be Catan. Yes, it is Settlers of Catan. Yes.
Listen, the best board game of all time.
Yeah.
Can I give you a fun fact about this?
Go ahead.
When I was playing back in the day, they had an online version, okay?
Yeah.
And you can go on and obviously be anonymous. And I think my handle was Jimmy James or something because I was going through a nice Beastie Boys phase. And I ended up being number one in the world for 5 days.
That
no
is
joke.
Hilarious.
And no joke. Hilarious. And I had a whole bunch of my Kansas City Wizards teammates at the time. They're all involved too. It was, I, it's a career highlight for me. I love that game. And now I want to play against Jan Vertonghen. So if you can connect us, I would love
We'll make it happen. He's a huge board game. I think it's hilarious, by the way. It's never too unpopular to live it up with the Beastie Boys. That's probably why you're number one, the Jimmy James gun. But he loves Catan, absolutely. He loves some other games as well. So he's in the episode today. He really good chat. But, you know, Benfica face Standard Liège, Belgium Standard Liège. So give us something on that. Benfica are super interesting as well because Vertonghen, who's played with Toby Alderweireld for so many years, is now has Nico Otamendi next to him, which is like a retro Premier League defensive backup. How do you see this game?
Benfica is the highest scoring team in all of Portugal. They are scoring goals in bunches. In the first match day, Darwin Nunez had a hat trick. He's the heavy favorite to score again. Benfica is a heavy favorite to win this. It's minus 400 if you want to bet them to win the game. Standard Liège, not so good right now. Haven't looked very good, not scoring a lot of goals. Don't really have much value. It feels very similar to Arsenal Dundalk where it's pretty one-sided. But I do like Darwin Nunez to score the first or last goal at plus 110 or plus 120, excuse me. I think that's some good value. And then his strike partner, who maybe isn't getting as much attention, Everton, he could score anytime at plus 138.
I love Everton, man.
That's the best value. I think if Standard Liège is like, oh man, we gotta mark this Darwin Nunez guy, they might throw more numbers at him and that will open up space for other players. And I think Everton could potentially get a goal and plus 138 scoring anytime is pretty decent value.
And Benfica's on a roll right now. I mean, they beat Belenenses 2-0. They beat Lech Poznan before that 4-2. They beat Rio Ave 3-0 against Firenze 3-2. So they score goals, as you mentioned. So it's good value for them to see definitely scoring. And Everton, you guys, if you don't know Everton, you need to watch him, especially Copa America last season. I mean, I think he's going to be big stuff. But they're a super interesting team, the most decorated club in Portuguese history, more than Porto. And Sporting CP, so it's a good one.
Before you move on, I didn't think they looked good in Champions League qualifying when they got dumped by PAOK. And I was like, man, they got Vertonghen, they got Otamendi. They kind of got this nice mix of young and old. I really like what they're putting together. And since that game, they have been unbeaten. They have looked very good. And they're scoring, I mean, they're winning games 3-0, 4-1, 5-2. You know, it's crazy some of the numbers they're putting up in this. So yeah, they're flying right now. And then the other team can't score to save their lives. So
it
should be pretty one-sided.
Benfica do really well against Belgium opposition. They're undefeated against Belgian opposition in the last 10 matches. So again, another piece of information there. Again, so many games, but let's go back to England. Antwerp playing Tottenham. Should be an interesting one. I believe Antwerp won match day one, and so did Spurs. So something has to give here. What do you see there?
Yeah, for me, I really like the over in this. Over 3.5 goals is plus 140, Luis. I like that one a lot just because of how many goals Spurs are scoring and creating. And yes, I know it's a little bit more difficult for them, or at least this past week against Burnley. But Burnley are away from home. They're always going to be tough to beat as they did in the Premier League. But they got it done. Harry Kane to Heung-min Son is, for me, like Magic
Johnson. The ultimate combo.
It's like Magic Johnson to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at this moment. I mean, it's just you cannot stop these guys.
Yeah,
but I like that, you know, Tottenham have been, I had some notes down. There've been over 2.5 goals scored in 8 of Tottenham's last 9 Europa League games. They won their last 4. They're scoring a bunch of goals. They've scored at least 3 goals in their last 3 matches in the Europa League. So I like Spurs to win. This is another one. And only over 2.5 goals, plus 102. Gareth Bale, at some point, right? He's going to do something. You're like, I should have bet him. He's right now scoring anytime plus 100. I like that a lot. And then if you want Spurs to win both halves, which I think they have the capability of doing, just to find like that, maybe a little bit more of a flyer, maybe a little bit more of a risk. I like them at plus 300. They got to win both halves though. And they have the firepower to do it. I really like Carlos Vinicius up top. I think he's done a very good job of talking about a Benfica player, right? Of just holding the ball up and allowing other players to come in and make a difference. I think Lucas Moura and Lo Celso and Gareth Bale in particular, who I think are going to start this one, will take advantage of that because he now has to – he's going to get a lot more attention. And like I said about Nunez before, when one player is playing that well, it's going to open up space for other people, and I think other players can take advantage. So I like Spurs to win both halves, plus 300. I think that's good value too.
Well, Europa League has so many games, and you know, one of the narratives for this is the fact that, you know, a lot of teams have never played against each other. We've already talked about others. This one is another one. The Antwerp and Tottenham have never faced against each other. However, Tottenham has never won away to Belgian opposition. It could be the difference tomorrow. Look out for Semen Christensen, Euclerod, by the way, from Antwerp. He created seven chances against Ludo Gretz, more than any other player managed on match day one. Make that with what you will. Obviously, Tottenham is a different kettle of fish, but you never know. But I love Carlos Vinicius. We'll see what happens there. Anything else, Jimmy? Any other takes before we say goodbye to you, before we bring James, Leicester City against Athens, anything else anywhere?
Oh, my God. This just changed within the last hour of me looking at this. But Bayer Leverkusen to win straight up over Slavia Prague was plus 100. It's now minus 110. I still think there's some value there. Leverkusen beating Nice in match day one, 6-2. These guys are on it. They are so good, and they can beat you in so many different ways. I don't think Slavia Prague has much of a chance in this one. So if you guys can go on to William Hill and figure it out, there's probably some good lines there to follow. But I would look at Leverkusen doing the business in that one. Other notes that I have, you got to talk about AC Milan versus Sparta Prague. Zlatan to score the first or last goal. I like that one a lot. That's like plus 150. And then Zlatan, I really like this one, Luis, and I think you will too. And I'm bringing up Zlatan because he always seems to score in big games. Sparta Prague, they are down center backs. So they're going to be putting in a 21-year-old to start who's really never played before. Zlatan's going to eat that kid up for lunch, okay? So I like Zlatan to score and Milan to win exactly 2-0, 2-1, or 3-1 plus 380. I do think that Sparta Prague has enough to score. Milan have only kept two clean sheets throughout seven or eight games this season. So there's going to be some opportunities there. They do get a little loose at times, but I do think they're going to find a way to win. I like that one a lot, but again, it's got to be Zlatan's got to score and it's got to be one of those exact score lines plus 380. I take that one to the bank, baby.
Yeah, this will be the opening home game for AC Milan before they have to play Udinese this weekend. And we talked about first encounters for many teams. Actually, this one is going to be the seventh time. They've already, you know, they know each other pretty well. But you would bet your money that Zlatan's going to look at that young center back and be like, I'm all over you. I'm all over you. Jimmy Conrad, always love having you here, brother. And we will speak to you later even as well because we're going to do the recap. We'll do the weekend recap as well tomorrow. But Jimmy, always good to see you, brother. Thank you so much. And you know, try some Maltesers, man. They're good.
No, I refuse. I refuse. Thanks for having me, everybody. See you, Luis.
Yeah, see you never. Welcome back, everybody. We say goodbye to Jimmy. We say hello to James Benj from England. He's off to the Emirates to see Arsenal. He was at the presser. James, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm great. Still getting used to life at CBS. For those of our listeners that don't know, this is my first week, so be nice to me. But we spent all day doing tech stuff and listening to Mikel Arteta. It's been a weird day.
That's a weird one. We're not going to be nice to you. Nobody was nice to me, so why they should be nice to you? It's not going to happen. Hey, listen, we were talking about Halloween candy, and because I grew up in England, I brought up Lion Bars, which are so good. And I love Maltesers. What is your take on Maltesers, Jane?
My Maltese take is they're fine. You've got to, you don't bite down on them. Otherwise it's really weird. And Lion Bars are good. American candy's weird. And I don't know without wishing to alienate more of our audience after yesterday's Lionel Messi take. What is wrong with your chocolate, America?
Yeah. I know. Listen, they don't know anything if I haven't eaten English candy. Like, English sweets are so much better. But again, like you said, let's not alienate more people. Let's talk about Arsenal. Arsenal, you were at the presser, Mikel Arteta. What's the latest on them as they look ahead and play Dundalk, looking for 2-for-2 in the Europa League?
So despite the fact that they have 8 centre-backs on their books, maybe even more, and players like Kieran Tierney that can shuffle in, Arsenal, because they're Arsenal, have a crisis of numbers in central defence. David Luiz is out against Dundalk. He's probably going to be out against Manchester United. So that's a real defensive problem because he and Gabriel Magalhães, kind of the best redeeming feature of the season has been those two settling in as a partnership together. Shkodran Mustafi is probably going to come in. But I mean, Arsenal also without Rob Holding, he won't train until next week. Socrates isn't in the squad. Who else are they missing? There's so many names that I struggle to reel them all off. Pablo Mari as well. He's had quite a few setbacks on an ankle injury. Callum Chambers probably not going to play until at the very latest, you know, the final few weeks of this year. So, I mean, it's classically Arsenal that injuries in central defence would leave them short on numbers. And it's going to be a real challenge for Arteta against Dundalk, who I'm sure that, you know, this is the game they've got their eyes on. Arteta said, doesn't know much about the team. Mustafi said, doesn't know much, said he knows even less about the team. So you kind of think this is one where maybe they could be caught unawares. We shall see. But big crisis in defence and a huge game on the horizon as well on Sunday that they've got to manage.
Yeah, well, this is the first time Arsenal's facing Irish opposition in UEFA competition. Is Arteta thinking maybe two ahead for Manchester United this weekend, do you think, James? Is that what it is? It's like, obviously, after the loss to Leicester City, you know, it's not alarm bells right now, but, you know, he's probably looking for a win sooner rather than later, right?
Yeah, they need it because, I mean, even if, you know, we're throwing way ahead here, even if they were to win the Europa League, the kind of expectation at Arsenal is that they finish top four this season, or at the very least get, you know, really properly compete for it again. And that's Arteta's expectation as well. And, you know, he is the one who almost sets his own objectives now, the dream scenario for any line manager, I'm sure. He will no doubt be really prioritising that Manchester United game, because I think we've seen United are a bit iffy at home. They haven't won any of their home league games. In theory, Arsenal have the players to hit them hard on the counter, players like Aubameyang, Pepe. It's interesting to see which of those sort of players really start up front for Arsenal tomorrow night or tonight when you guys are listening to it. It's a tough one. Look forward to seeing like players again that I mentioned a lot on this pod, like Reece Nelson, maybe Emil Smith-Rowe, who's really glowing on Reece Nelson, actually, I should say. Arsenal had been looking to loan him out in the last few weeks of the window, but Nelson, like the whole summer long, was going, no, I'm staying. I want to fight for my place. He hasn't had a chance to show what he can do yet. He's only played 80-odd minutes of football, but a top-quality winger. We saw that with Hoffenheim on loan, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do against Dundalk.
Yeah, so that's another good point. You know, this competition offers the opportunity for those like second-string, third-string players to maybe show the manager that they're good enough. Let's talk about Tottenham. They're facing Antwerp. Obviously, they got to travel. It's the early kickoff, actually, tomorrow. What do you see here, the lineup? Do you see something similar? I mean, you know, there are some stars here as well that are not getting their minutes, James. What do you make of it?
The sort of curious thing with Tottenham is they have the same like problems as the other big teams, but they're making much more of a virtue over the fact that they've got this huge squad that is basically too big to compete in any normal season. But for them, with Europa League qualifying rounds, with so many games in the Premier League, they're actually, it almost seems like the extra game load is really suiting them. And, you know, you've got players who are going to come in tomorrow. I suspect Dele Alli will come in, and he's a guy that can't get in the Premier League squad, which I find bizarre. He was really poor in that opening game against Everton, but he remains a supremely talented young footballer and a brilliant attacking midfielder. Maybe he just doesn't fit. I'm interested to get your view on this as well, Luis. Maybe he just doesn't fit Mourinho ball. Even, you know, particularly with Harry Kane, has been unbelievable playing as a false nine, dropping into space, and had Son running on. Maybe, you know, if Ali's a natural role, is that position that Kane's dropping into? And maybe that's why it's not quite working. But I really hope that we see Ali at his best, because 2-3 years ago, this was one of the best young players in Europe.
Yeah, this is my opinion. He needs to leave Tottenham. He needs to leave Tottenham straight away. And, you know, we talked about Inter Milan a few days ago. He would fit perfectly there, I think. He's 24 years old. 24. And like you said, we've already seen some of the magic that he produces. He's just, if Mourinho's not going to use him, and, you know, I remember watching the Amazon Prime documentary where he would have his chats and saying, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson would say to me, you know, Dele Alli, he's the one that you want, et cetera, et cetera. He's 24. He's an England international. the best thing for him is for him to leave Tottenham and go to a club that can best utilize his services, whether that's in the Premier League or somewhere else. I think somewhere like Inter would be great for him. There's already, you know, an interest in going to Premier League talent. Ashley Young is there, of course. And, you know, Alexis Sanchez coming from United, Lukaku before that, etc. I think he would be perfect. But my opinion, leave Tottenham. Just make the best out of it in January. And Tottenham can make some money of it. Dele Alli's still young. Everybody wins.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, like PSG and teams like that were saying, let's take him on loan. Obviously, that never quite worked out. So fiddly in this summer window. 24, it both sort of struck me how, you know, that's still so young, but it feels it feels quite old for Dele Alli. It feels like we're always talking about him as a 21-year-old. So you know, time is on his side, but I think, you know, the years where he can really establish himself, they're now. He has to either get into the team in the next 2 months or he's got to go, because it's criminal from his perspective, a talent of his quality, to be, you know, only playing in the Europa League. I would say any other team in Europe, I totally agree, Inter Milan will be amazing for him. But any team in Europe, if you can get Dele Alli on loan, even if you have to pay, you know, his wages aren't very expensive for what it's worth, do it. This guy is brilliant. And I know that he's not been that level over the past two years. But, you know, remember when Spurs were pushing Chelsea and pushing Leicester for the title? He looked like, you know, the perfect foil for a modern centre forward, you know, finding those pockets of space, scoring goals, providing assists. I'd be gambling on that talent for a lot longer. And I really hope he either breaks into the Tottenham team or finds a team where he can play. Because I still think the sky's the limit for this guy.
Now get out of Tottenham, I'd say. If you wanna revitalize your career, do it. Unless you're Messi, Lewandowski, Ronaldo, a player is only as good as the manager with his tactics that allows him to be great. And right now, that's not what it's happening. Finally, anything else from Europa, James? Leicester City, how do you see them? They're going away at AEK Athens. I mean, Jamie Vardy's back. They got the feel-good factor. What do you make of Leicester City this week?
Jamie Vardy having his party again. It's, well, I mean, they're so not a one-man team. And yet, from what I saw on Sunday, they're kind of a one-man team. Like, you know, we'll try and survive against Arsenal until we can get the remains of Jamie Vardy onto the pitch, just running ragged for 30 minutes and win the game off Jamie Vardy. I think Leicester have to be so careful managing him in particular, because it's not just about the quality of his game, it's what his presence does for players around him. And you could see the Leicester team grow a few inches taller when Vardy came on the pitch. AEK Athens, would I be risking him? Probably not. The strength in depth is there. And, you know, in these away group stage games, you're only really interested in getting a point, not, you know, avoiding injuries, avoiding a bad result. So I would sort of say, keep your powder dry on Vardy, because it's looking like the Premier League's opening up for a proper opportunity for Leicester to finish in the top four again. It was so close last season. And yeah, I'm really interested to see how Brendan Rodgers manages this, because he's a great manager and a great man manager. But was he able to sort of manage his squad effectively in the restart games? Clearly not, because they fell out of contention. So that's his challenge, is how does he balance Europa League and Premier League and keeping Vardy sharp and ready to score?
Yeah, well, this will also be redemption time for Brendan Rodgers, because when he managed Celtic lost to AEK Athens in the Champions League. So maybe there'll be some redemption here, but it's the first time Leicester City and AEK Athens are meeting in European competitions. We'll see what happens. James Bench, always good to have you, my friend. And James will also be part of our Halloween special. It's going to be fun, huh? I can't wait to see it.
I have my costume.
I love it. James, always a pleasure, my friend. Stay safe, and I hope that you have a good game at the Emirates.
Cheers. Talk to you guys soon.
Hey, everybody. As promised, Jan Vertonghen joined the show to discuss his decision of moving to Benfica, his love for the Belgian national team, as well as his teammates, including Romelu Lukaku. He offers some thoughts on Mauricio Pochettino and the Europa League and so much more. Stay right here because here it is. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Joining us now is Benfica's Jan Vertonghen, the experienced defender and member of the Belgian national team. After an opening victory in the Europa League, Jan and Benfica face Standard Liège, Belgium Standard Liège, this week and a chance to go 2-2. Jan, welcome to Que Golazo and CBS Sports Digital. Congratulations, by the way, a new arrival to your family. Sending you the best and congrats.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the lovely introduction.
You are mostly welcome. Jan, first off, how are you? How's life in Portugal? How are you enjoying Benfica?
Yeah, I'm very good. Obviously, moving to another country takes some time to settle in when you have a family and you have to move. And as soon as you arrive, you have to start performing, but then you want the business on the side to be to be well arranged, and that took some time, but I can say now that all things are going very well on the football side and on the other side, so I'm a happy man at the moment.
That's good to hear. Jan, Benfica are the most decorated club in the country, in Portugal. They've won the league title more times than Porto and Sporting. I know it's difficult to describe because obviously of the pandemic, but how does it feel to play for these fans, for Benfica fans, for this club?
Yeah, even though I haven't played in front of the supporters yet, you can really feel how big the club is. When you walk on the streets or on social media or the people working in the club. It's weird to say, but I really can feel how massive this club is. And obviously I can't wait to play in front of the supporters. And I always compare Benfica to Ajax in Holland. It's the most decorated club. It's the biggest club with the biggest amount of supporters. The most trophies and best known in the country, best known over the world probably. And that's always when people ask me from Western Europe about Benfica, I always compare them as the Ajax of Portugal.
Well, speaking of Ajax, your resume speaks for itself, Jan. I feel something about your career that speaks out more than any other player, really, is that you're very loyal. Like when you make a decision to move to a club, you know, you do it with careful thought. I mean, you really essentially have played for three clubs. Ajax, where you started your career, almost 200 appearances. Tottenham, of course, and now Benfica. Jan, my question is, I'm curious, how was the Benfica decision presented to you? You know, obviously you're a very good defender, experienced, many options. Why Benfica? How do you make that decision to come?
Yeah, I think in a couple of years I will look back at my career and I think I will be a happy man. Maybe I would have liked to won a bit more trophies, but I'm working on that as we speak. And the Benfica transfer was something special because of the last year of my contract, the pandemic, which brought a lot of insecurity in the world of football and in the transfer markets. So I even went a couple of weeks unemployed. I was a bit stressed that I'm on because I really didn't want to be in that situation, but there were always options, so that kept me calm. But I was waiting for the perfect one, and I was actually in Amsterdam on the canals on a little boat when my agent called me about Benfica, and I was quite positive at that moment. And at the night at home, I spoke to the general manager of the club, just like a general a conversation, and he gave me that very special feeling in that 45 minutes that we spoke. And went downstairs to my missus, and basically I told her I was convinced, and obviously there's lots of things that need to happen on the contract side and everything, but in that 45 minutes he totally convinced me of the projects, of the club, of the players, of the of the total picture. And then from that moment there was only one club I wanted to play for.
Of course, you needed the approval from your wife. I mean, as we all know, we need that approval first, and then we can move on. Listen, even though success is big in Benfica, in Portugal for Benfica, in Europe, it's been a while since winning a trophy. How do you see your chances in the Europa League? Do you think you're good enough to win the whole thing and finally bring a European trophy back to the club?
Yes, it's a very difficult competition to win. Benfica were close a couple of times in the last couple of years. We have a very good squad at the moment. Every game we're getting better. And I think we have a chance to come very far. But if you see the list of teams that are already in the competition, and then you have like, I think, eight teams that drop out of the Champions League, which are probably very strong team, so we will always have a chance, but it won't be easy.
Yeah, and I've heard something that you are a big board games player. You love board games.
Yes.
What's your favorite board game, and do you play with anybody in the team a lot? Does Otamendi play with you, maybe?
not yet. I used to play a lot in Holland, and especially in London. And my own little crew. I don't have that crew here yet. Probably the game that we placed the most was Catan. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that game. That's been probably the most popular. And then some card games like Trumps or whatever. But Eric Dyer and me, we had like the habit of every couple of weeks we brought a new board game. And we introduced that, and sometimes it sticked, sometimes not. But Catan is probably the one.
Would Toby Alderweireld play with you as well, or was he not into it?
No, he's not that not big of a board game player. Most of the time it was Eric and his brothers, and then Ben Davis, Michel Vorm. That was a bit of our crew.
talking about Toby, by the way, and I remember back when you were with Tottenham in 2017, Toby said, and I quote him, "It's difficult for me to play without Vertonghen. If I move to another club, he has to follow me." Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was a little bit kidding, but do you miss playing with Toby Alderweireld in the same club?
Yeah, I played more games with him than without him, probably. And we were very used to play with each other. But you always have to try to develop the same connection with the new or the other center back now, and I'm working on that now with Nico Otamendi. I think it's going very well. We can always improve, but yeah, Toby and I were so used to each other at Ajax, in Tottenham, and obviously in the national team that we took it for granted.
So we're going to talk to Toby later this week. What's he like as a person? Are you close with him? Is he funny? Is he serious? Is he your yin to your yang? What's he like?
He's quite an introvert, I would say, which is typically Flemish, I think. I can recognize the type of character a lot around me in the family or friends. So he's typically Flemish. But once you get to know him, he opens up, and obviously I know him for a long time, so we know a lot about each other's private life. And he's a great guy. He's very loyal. He can be funny, but he's a great guy. And once you get to know him better, he gets more and more extrovert.
Of course, when we talk about both of you, we have to talk about the Belgian national team, ranked by FIFA as the best in the world right now. How does it feel to play with this squad under Roberto Martinez? Obviously, you were injured during the Nations League, but how does it feel to be with, you know, all these talented players as well as you?
probably more talented, but no, they're a great bunch of guys. They always, when I got there, it's like coming home. They I've been playing with some of them for like 10, 12 years, like Toby. And we're so used to each other now. Roberto Martinez played a very big part in that. And it's just trying to get a trophy there, because we had a couple of chances. We didn't take them, but I think we got one or two more to go for. And we really feel it's our time. So hopefully we can get that silverware.
Yeah, many of us feel that a tremendous team. One of them, of course, one of your teammates is Romelu Lukaku, doing very well playing. Mm-hmm. And you've played with him, you've played against him, doing very well for Inter Milan. What's he like? What's Romelu like? Tell me from your point of view.
On or off the pitch?
Both. I guess we know
on the pitch. You all know him. He's a beast. He's a lethal goal scorer. He improves every game, and he's always looking for new things in his game, as we can all see. And off the pitch, he's a great guy. He's very intense. He loves football, and he can be all over you. He's actually the nicest guy you will ever meet. I really love him. I have a very good relationship with him. Yes, and I can't wait to see him again. He's a friendly giant. Let's say it that way.
That's a good way to describe him. And just a few more questions. Listen, I want to ask you about Mauricio Pochettino. I'm a very big fan of his as a person, as a manager. You obviously know him well from your time with him with Tottenham. Where would you like him to see him? Do you think he deserves to see a club right now? Do you, because you know him personally, maybe is he a little impatient right now? How do you see him as a manager and what he could do for a club?
Yeah, I can imagine he's impatient. I think the English league suits him very well. He's a manager that prioritizes the fitness levels and the physicality of the game. So I think, playing in the or managing in the Premier League is probably the best thing he can do. He will always want to coach a big team, I guess. So you have to look at the biggest teams in the league, and there are only two or three you can really look at, I think, then at this point. I won't name them out of respect for the other managers, but I think that's what he's looking at as well. He wants that big team to confirm what he's been doing with Tottenham and what he did very well. So if I was him, I would be impatient, because he really loved his job. So you wanna continue that.
Yeah, and finally, you're playing Standard Liège this week, a Belgian team. Obviously, you know them, just from growing up, experience. How do you see your chances in this game?
Yeah, we're very confident at the moment. We won a couple of games in a row now. The squad is looking better every game. And games every 3 days now. So whoever probably is the fittest and most focused will come out on top. We play at home. Even it's without fans, I can see ourselves as favorites. But Standard is one of the top three teams in Belgium at the moment. So it's obviously a very good team, and I think if we can bring what we've been bringing the last couple of games, we have to try everything to win the game.
Jan Vertonghen, Benfica, the Belgian national team, a father once again. Congratulations, Jan, on everything. And the best, and stay safe to you and your family.
Thank you very much. Very kind. Nice speaking to you.
I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and James Bench and Jan Vertonghen for joining the show. We will be back with a recap of the action and the preview of the weekend action as well. Make sure that you follow us on Que Golazo Pod on Twitter. And if you listen to us on CBSSports.com, make sure that you follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We are everywhere, baby, and we don't plan on leaving. We'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.